put the fairy story back in the bottle. Ah, yes. Take off shoes. There's a lot to do to get ready. So, I'm a little worried. We got a new set of speakers recently, and I discovered Dan getting them set up with voice commands. So you walk into the room and you say, "Alexa, turn the music on." And it comes on. "Alexa, make it a little louder." And it gets louder. You don't have to touch anything. You don't have to do anything. "Alexa, walk the dogs." "Sorry," she says. So yesterday, he asks if I want the music on, Dan, that is, when he goes out to rake, and I say, "No, I write better in the quiet." And he holds his hands out, "Alexa, shut the music off." And off it goes, of course. He turns to me and says, "And so it was." I'm a little worried. In my mind's eye, I'm seeing the actor Charlton Heston as Moses. Cecil B. DeMille made the Ten Commandments in 1956. Wikipedia says Heston bore an uncanny resemblance to Michelangelo's statue of Moses. Imagine how that made Heston feel. I see him with his staff. His hair is still brown because he hasn't been to the mountaintop, of course. He's leading the throngs of Israelites out of bondage, raising his arms, "Alexa, part the seas." And it happens. Of course. In all seriousness, I am a little worried. Not about Alexa, but about... And this is what I sat thinking, what am I worried about? I'm worried about what our world is becoming, I guess. How we are connecting in ways, or not. Through our phones, our social media, our cloud stuff, which in and of itself isn't bad, but it somehow feels less connected to the material of life, the fabric, the tangible, the bread, the very bread. I guess what I really mean is that it feels that we are often less connected to the holy of life. Although I know you know that I find humor a great connector to mystery, confusion, irony, and awe. All those things that are, among other things, the essence of holy. So maybe Alexa is another piece of the holy in some way. Still, people seem generally less interested in it, in discovering it, in feeling it, in knowing that it exists. What I wrote here is, don't get your knickers in a twist about that word, holy. I'd like you to work with me on this one. People seem less curious about it in general, and that worries me. When we don't have a sense of it, we're missing something. I want to share a poem with you by the Quaker poet Jean Lohman. "Praise what comes," she says, "surprising as an unplanned kiss, all you haven't deserved of days in solitude, your body's immoderate good health that lets you work in many kinds of weather. Praise talk with just about anyone, and quiet intervals, books that are your food and your hunger. Nightfall and walks before sleep. Praising these for practice, perhaps you will come at last to praise grief and the wrongs you never intended. At the end of the day, there may be no answers and only a few very simple questions. Did I love? Finish my task in the world? Learn at least one of the many names of God? At the intersections, the boundaries where one life began and another ended, the jumping off places between fear and possibility, at the ragged edges of pain, did I catch the smallest glimpse of the holy. I hope so. Even the smallest glimpse of what you might call holy in its myriad forms, something not quite of this earth or very much of this earth, something ethereal, inspired, and affirming, something born of love and wonder and curiosity and raw beauty. But first, let's think back to the old woman and the vinegar bottle. Who of us has not wished for more in our lives? The old girl has lived in a vinegar bottle, for goodness sakes. We have to cut her some slack. And who can blame her for dreaming of something more? Maybe for you it's not about the house, although for some of us, maybe it is, literally. For some of us, metaphorically at least. A bigger house, just a bit more space. A more important job, or one that pays better, slightly better, or a lot better. A different body, one that does more things, or does them more easily. Maybe taller, maybe straighter, maybe smaller feet. Maybe it's about wanting different relationships, ones with people who inspire or challenge us, or maybe just more time with the ones that we're delighted with. Sometimes it's just really hard to imagine praising what is, let alone praising what comes. We are creatures of imagination, and it's so easy to paint an interior picture of something other than what we have, to imagine something better that leaves us musing, perhaps, and sometimes yearning. All of which gets in the way, of course, of the sense of abundance that inclines us to gratitude, that says, life is good, just here, just now, just the way it is. Life is really good in all its mess. I have a friend who is fond of saying, thank you, baby Jesus, when she is content. She's Catholic. But we could try it. It could work. Let's go back to Moses for a minute. Many of you may know that Moses led his people out of bondage, but never made it to the promised land himself, right? Moses convinced Pharaoh to let his people go. Actually, Moses got some help convincing Pharaoh to let his people go. And then since we know that freedom, and by this I mean any freedom, is just the beginning, witness the end of modern day slavery, for example, they wandered for 40 years to find a place to settle. And in the end, Moses never got to see it. The story suggests it's because he doubted God. He doubted. That sounds familiar, right? I remember maybe mentioning to you a sign down the street at the Congregational Church. It says, God doesn't question your existence. They have great signage, I must say. At one point early on in the travels of Moses and his people, the Israelites are running out of water, and God tells Moses to tap a rock from which water in abundance will flow. And it works. And the people and the livestock drink, and their thirsts are quenched. And then years later, there's another drought time. And God sees the thirst and tells Moses to simply instruct the rock. But instead, Moses hits the rock like he did the first time, and not once, but twice. The water flows, all is well, but for his doubting, he is left out of the end game. So, in this story, what's the deal? What are we to learn from this story? And what is our takeaway in this liberal and progressive faith tradition? Perhaps that, like us, Moses couldn't quite imagine the simplicity of the promise. Trust in enough. Your voice will provide. but he couldn't quite get there. He muscled through, hitting the rock as he had before, not once, but twice. If once worked earlier, surely twice is even better. Surely if this house is nice, a bigger one would be nicer. Surely if this body, even in its occasional discomforts, serves me, surely a different one, or one more like that one, stronger, younger, would be better. Surely even though this work is good, honest, and worthy, that job would engage my gifts more so. Surely if I'm sad, a change in circumstance would fill my weary soul. Denise Levertov gifts us this poem. Don't say there is no water to solace the dryness at our hearts. I have seen the fountain springing out of the rock wall and you drinking there. And I too, before your eyes, found footholds and climbed to drink the cool water. The woman of that place, shading her eyes, frowned as she watched, but not because she grudged the water, only because she was waiting to see we drank our fill and were refreshed. Don't say there is no water. That fountain is there among its scalloped green and gray stones. It is still there and always there with its quiet song and strange power to spring in us, up and out through the rock. Are we not able to trust in the idea of enough? Are we not able to imagine a grace that responds to our voice alone and does not require us to beat the rocks for water? What are you railing at these days? What are you in a rush to achieve or to maintain? What security or muse are you chasing? If only I had, if only I were. Think you needn't be so hard, you know. In a few weeks, we're going to be talking about how fast the world is changing and how hard it is for us to keep up, to adapt, how the pace of change may be exceeding our existing capacities of resilience. And that may be so, but you'll have to come back on the 3rd of December to find out. But whatever change is going on around us, whatever thing is not quite perfect in our mind's eyes, we have infinite capacity to pause if we choose. It is my hope that that is what this week provides for each of us, whether we are among 37 of our favorite friends and family or observing Thanksgiving on our own. Alexa, turn the music off. I just want to be. I just want to be grateful for this. Breathe it in as you sit among each other right now. Grateful for this. It's not wrong to want more or to want different or something other. It's only a problem when we let it get in the way of knowing and appreciating what is. Remember at the end of our story this morning, the closing line? Contentment comes from the heart, not from the house, or the better job, or the stronger body, or the longer life. You are abundant just as you are. You are holy and whole just as you are. Tukaram, who wrote the poem we shared in our opening words this morning, lived 500 years ago in India. He was a prolific writer. He said to the squirrel, "What is that you are carrying?" And the squirrel said, "It is my lucky rock. Isn't it pretty?" I held it and said, "Indeed." I asked of the holy, the infinite, the mystery, "What is this earth?" And I heard in return, "It is a lucky rock. Isn't it wondrous? Yes, indeed. How can our hearts not know the abundance? Thank you, then, and thank you.